At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Hello, good evening, and good night. Hello, everybody. It is I, Crest the Star, here on Fightful. It is August 14th, 2025, and this is your post-TNA go-home show to Emergence. Typically, I am here with Joel Pearl, but he is out traveling, running from the grind, as Mr. Triple H would say. So we have our favorite substitute teacher, our favorite cousin. He's here all the time when somebody isn't here. Give a warm welcome to SP3. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Hi, SP3. How are you?
Thank you, Cresta. What an introduction. That's one of the best introductions I've ever been given. I appreciate that. But yes, I'm always happy to fill in for Joe Pearl or for anything where I can talk with Cresta about some graps, where we always have fun because we never take it that seriously, which is always fun with TNA.
Honestly, guys, and if you want to have fun with TNA as well and not take it that seriously, sorry, Mercedes Meowne is going into business for herself early this episode. Go ahead and leave us a super chat. And if you're feeling really fancy, go ahead and leave us a humper chat as well. Either one of those gets your comment or your donation read on screen, and you get to join in on the conversation. And if you want to get more scoops, more graphs, consider subscribing to Fightful Select. You can even give us a subscribe over on YouTube. We're close to 210,000 subscribers. That's crazy. Over on YouTube, we're at 205,000 now. So we need your help to do that over there. We have, like I said, Fightful Select. We've got updates on AEW stars sign, Ask Graspity, Grizzled Young Veterans, all of that for $5.99. Sorry, my brain said I'm turning upside down and my stem is coming out like a Pikmin. Why would you want to get it aggregated when you could get it flabbergasted the best way, direct way? Fightful Select. Are you ready to talk about TNA now that I've done my professional corporate duty of selling everything?
Very good. Very well said. Very well said. I don't know if you want to get into the show or you want to talk about the news of the day with TNA being basically might possibly be on Wednesdays.
All right. So you know what? You brought it up. So let's get into that. So earlier today, news was, I don't know if it was broke or if it was swirling around, because I found out about this during TNA, that WWE is possibly lining them up to be competition with AEW. And I'm like, leave TNA alone.
It's like trying to get somebody who's not prepared for that fight to replace you in that fight, even though you can win that fight probably in one round.
Listen, man, nothing is confirmed. I haven't seen any confirmation yet, but honestly, I think that is such a cop out. So it's kind of like, you ever seen Jessica Jones? You know, in the first season, Jessica Jones had that crackhead friend who stayed getting beat up for Jessica Jones. Yes. That's TNA. TNA is that crackhead friend, season one, repeatedly getting beat up. And every time he's trying to get his stuff together, here comes somebody else to beat up the crackhead friend. Now, Jessica Jones, you could save your crackhead friend, but you too busy going on chasing this other guy that your crackhead friend is stay getting beat up. Is that really your friend?
No, no. It's basically a proxy war where they're using somebody else to fight the war. Because they basically got exposed when it's NXT. When it's NXT going head-to-head, AEW was winning that the last couple of times. So they're like, okay, we're throwing a main roster PLE at it come September. That just was announced earlier tonight, where they announced it as Over the Limit on September 20th, the same day as All Out. So now they're going to do that, and now we're going to see more main roster PLEs going against AEW pay-per-views. And then on Wednesday, we could throw you TNA. TNA going to probably go to like either maybe CW or Peacock in this reckless speculation of this all, because this is nothing's been confirmed. It's just a report from the Daytown on SI with a conversation with Carlos Silver, who did not kind of confirm or deny the possibility of them going to Wednesdays.
I do think that, in all honesty, leave TNA alone. TNA is going through a real rough time right now. I want them to get on, like, I joke a lot, but this is me being sincere and a little bit corporate. TNA is right now in a shaky time with them losing their main titles to another roster, another promotion even. You're coming off the backs of a high and a low point because Jordynne Grace leaving, Joe Hendry about to leave. That was really a high point for the past 2 years, and now you're kind of like plateauing. Not to say there's anything wrong with their roster now, but to throw them against AEW, which really, if you want to compete with AEW, who says I'm not in competition with no one, you should fight them instead of sending everyone else to go fight your battle. It becomes a one-sided beef, considering you call them a Checks Notes t-shirt company. If that is how you feel, you go head-to-head with them. They are not beefing with you. This is a one-sided beef. Leave TNA out of this. If this is what it is, I'ma still support you, TNA. I'ma ride by you. I'ma stand by my man. But that being said, don't fight this other person's fight. Don't. You about to fight. Mike Tyson don't need you to fight for that.
Exactly. It's Mike Tyson getting somebody else to fight their battle. It's hilarious. If this happens, I don't see this working out for WWE. Like, the WWE has not learned the lesson over the last couple of times that counter-programming, in the eyes of, like, the fan perception, it's helped AEW, because now they feel like the underdog again, and they're just focusing on themselves. They're not really doing any responses to what WWE is saying about them or doing these certain things. Tony Khan is actually answering the questions right when it comes to, like, the competition and everything, so It would be the weirdest decision, but it's not that weird anymore, because it really feels like there's been a change in the strategy. The strategy before was like, oh, we'll throw anything out there. If they beat our developmental brand in NXT, then, oh, that's the little brother. So why that doesn't matter. And now they're going to throw a main roster PLE against All Out. And now they're going to say, oh, we're going to throw another company now. We want them to be number two. You can't be number two anymore.
I will say, because I will always support TNA, even if it's a little bit blindly, that if this results in them getting a TV deal or something on a bigger platform, let's get it. Because people should see Steve Maclin. People should see Jake something. People should have to endure the specter of TNA, Eric Young. You know, I think that other people should be exposed to it. And it should be easier for lapsed fans to be like, it was on Spike, that it was on Sci-Fi, that it was on this. I think it'll be great for that. But in the sense of, again, if you're going to call someone all these names, like, well, you suck, you can't do nothing, okay, then you fight him. Nah, hell nah. That guy hits me back. Why would I fight him? That's what it gives. And it's a little, it's a lot frustrating and sad, because it's like, you know who's going to suffer? The performers at TNA. And you know what's going to happen when it flops? TNA is going to suffer. Because somehow that's going to be TNA's fault.
Yeah, that's what it's going to come down to. But hey, this is the fight that they wanted to play. They got into this partnership with WWE. Anybody that has had a like major partnership with WWE, it either leads to them being sold to them, or them just basically kind of sucking you dry until you're kind of useless, or you're not at the same level that you were going into the partnership.
Somebody cue the gif of the three witches from Hocus Pocus doing like this on the kid. Where's the
but gift? WWE Nick Khan.
for fun, just as team building, who are the three witches if it's WWE then? Because Triple H has got to be the main one with the red hair.
yeah, that's Triple H, and it's Nick Khan, and it's either Dwayne, it's Rock or Ari Emanuel.
Rock is the cauldron. Rock, he'll be able to beat it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've had our fun. Now let's clock into work. Let's talk about TNA proper. Leave your thoughts in the comments about what do you feel about this TNA possibly going to Wednesday Speculation Nation against AEW. If you're watching this in the future, absolutely leave a comment. We love to read and write and type back. Let's talk about tonight's TNA. We open up the show with a continuous shot of someone who either attacked Moose, they say it was first class, and the system is like, nah, we want first class now. And that shot, that continuous shot, is very reminiscent of like WWE and the production quality tonight. Y'all got you a new camera, and I peeped it, and I, okay, all right, Fed, finally putting in some money, all right. So that continuous shot goes into the first class with AJ Francis, Rich Swann, and Trick Williams, versus a system consisting of JDC, Eddie Edwards, and Brian Myers. This match is exactly what you think it was going to be. Cute little brawl. My question to you before I dig deep into this match is, so the system is a face now? Are we cheering the system? Did the system work, or did the system really reboot, or did the system break?
Well, the system had their own promo. I think this was following Slammiversary, where they basically officially turned babyface. The signs were there because, you know, they teamed up with Matt Cardona against Dark State, and they were the babyfaces in that position at Slammiversary. They won. Moose lost the X Division Championship and then showed respect to Leon Slater and, you know, gave him the ring as the new champion. So he kind of was turning babyface there. And then they culminated it with the whole promo where Moose said he's going to stand at the front line and he's going to fight for the TNA World Championship. So they did all the steps, but you know, I'm not sold on it because it's the system. system, they were the heel faction for the longest time. It kind of like when they tease Judgment Day going babyface. It's like, I don't know how I feel about
it. It kind of gives. Listen, I don't mind being the bad guy if I'm the only bad guy. But here are these interlopers. It's kind of like when you play a game and Bowser decides to help you. He's like, yo, what are you doing, Bowser? He's like, yeah, but this guy, I'm a bad guy, but that guy, he's worse. This match starts before the bell even rings because the system is very upset with First Class and Trick Williams, who honestly, as a TNA champion, I'm sports disgusted. There was a Trick was barely wrestling, and then there was a big bear hug on JDC. JDC counters that with a bear hug. Oh, there was a big bear hug on JDC from AJ Francis, which is crazy because AJ Francis is tall. JDC is tall, and I couldn't tell who was a taller man in there. But JDC ends up biting him on the head. Rich Swann is back doing Rich Swann things, and this ends up with a Rich Swann roll-up on Myers with his feet on the ropes. Also, why was AJ Francis carrying Rich Swann like a baby at the end of the
night? Yes. As a money.
It reminded me of that scene from Dave Chappelle where he's pretending to be Diddy. And he had the, like, Fosworth Bentley had him on his back and said,
yeah. Oh my God. But yeah, this was a fun little matchup. I loved the best part of it was the celebration at the end with Trick playing his song to the First Class Thieves song.
He's an idiot.
But I love your description of Rich Swann doing Rich Swann things, because it really was that. Like, it's his selling is so Rich Swann, his moves in the ring is so Rich Swann. Him winning with his feet on the rope, so Rich Swann.
There's no other way to describe it. Like, of course he's going to wrestle good, but he's also going to wrestle like someone knocked his block off. Quite literally, like, my brother in Christ. Yeah, so that's that. I don't want to lie to you. I don't know what we're doing here. It's still, to me, the motivation sense for AJ Francis to be helping Trick Williams, considering that's the place you were let go from and everyone cooks you for that here, so why would you help the enemy? It's just a little odd to me. I did miss Rich Swann. I hope Casey Navarro gets better sooner rather than later, because the match between them, Casey and Rich, when he comes back.
Yeah. I think it does make sense, though, for AJ Francis to team up with Trick because of what you're saying. Like, he's never been accepted. He's been always seen as an outsider, a guy that came up through WWE and he got released from WWE and now he's here. So he's kind of never been accepted. So when the WWE star comes over and wins the top championship, that's the best way for him to be close to the title is to align with him.
I guess. Maybe I'm just an AJ Francis hater.
I'm an AJ Francis supporter. I've talked to him a few times.
I'm a kayfabe hater. Like, damn, he can't keep getting away with this kind of hater. Like, why do you keep getting away with this? Like, I'm tired of you getting away with this. But also, if somebody beats him up for him, like, hey, yo. not too much. He's a jabroni, but not like that. Not too much on AJ Francis. Not too much. This match is followed up by Harley Hudson and Mila. I had this in my notes and I didn't remember it. Mila Grace. I'm just going to say it like that, yes. Please. I apologize if it's wrong. Don't beat me up. Choke hold me if you have to, but please don't beat me up. Versus Danny Luna and Indy Hartwell. I don't know what happened in this match, because when I turned around, Indy Hartwell won and I got spit in the face.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yeah, Indy Hartwell got the win with Hertz Donut. Donut. I think
that's donut?
Hertz Donut. Hertz Donut. But they pronounce it as Hertz Donut. So, yeah, she got the win with that. And her and Danny Luna were celebrating up the ramp, and then it looked like it was just a fan, but it was Rosemary in the front row. She spit the mist in Indy's eyes, which became a further kind of digital exclusive throughout the rest of the night with Indy in the trainer's room. But it was just used to do more spitfire. They just feud already. Like, stop teasing it like this. Like, just feud them already, because they keep getting into beef.
Yeah, and y'all fighting over the dumbest things. I do have one note that there was a nice up and over from Danny Luna, because I think Harley Hudson tried to jump her over while she was power bombing Mila, and it was real fluid. Danny Luna is someone, I think, honestly, TNA always has two power girls at the top. Why not Danny Luna if Masha Slamovich is one of them? Why not? Why not? Come on. Come on. She's so good. Stop making me upset. All right.
She needs a higher position. She's basically TNA's Willow Nightingale, where she's kind of just been underrated for too long, and you need to give her kind of more of a spotlight. And I'm hoping they eventually just have her feud with Jody Threat. She beats Jody Threat, and then she can get an opportunity on the Knockouts title.
Yeah, because every opportunity that they've given Danny Luna, she's gone, in my opinion, above and beyond to show that she's somebody that if you really wanted to, you could build the company around her. You really could. You could have her be the Bane to Masha's, whatever it is. I don't know what the ebb and flow knife stone pico de gallo, your pico to your gallo, I guess. I don't know, man. But also to follow up what you said, we do have a digital exclusive later on in the show that shows Indy Hartwell getting her eyes cleaned by the trainer, which honestly, I thought it was funny. Maybe it was unintentional, but she had like one eyelash hanging off and she's like, it burns, dude. I don't even know what's going on. Jody Threat pulls up and is like, hey, are you okay? Are you good? Indy's like, no, I can't see. Help. I don't know what's going on, man. And in comes Danny Luna, who looks like she too got spit in the face. It's like, yo, get up out of here. And I'm like, that's a lot of hostility, but she's literally just checking on Indy. I agree with SP3 here. Just beef. Just at this point, just kiss and make up, or just beef. Just beef at this point. I was like,
this shit, y'all not even focus on the person who's hurting here. Y'all are ignoring Indy and her pain and her cries for help as y'all argue because only one of you can be in the room to check on her. Then it got both of y'all kicked out. So Indy has no one now, thanks to y'all.
The teacher said y'all both got to go because you both don't know how to act. Which was interesting, too, because it's like, I understand being upset at Jody Threat, but your friend literally just got acid in her eyes for all intents and purposes. Yeah. I understand it's on site, but how much on site is it when your friend, people are dying, Kim?
She used to be my friend. She's not my friend anymore. So only I can be here. She can't be here anymore. It just said that y'all couldn't team up together. It didn't, like, the rule of that matchup wasn't y'all can't be friends anymore. It's kind of weird.
In wrestling, if we can't be a tag team, I don't know who you are. Get out of my, leave this company. Actually, loser leaves town.
But if you're going to do that, then they should focus on the singles division afterwards. You shouldn't be in tag teams and then you get this all drama.
We just got new cameras, SP3. You're asking for a whole lot. This is TNA. One thing at a time, please, okay? One thing at a time.
She was like, we got the production down. Then we'll start making sense. Don't worry. We'll get there eventually.
We got to pinpoint one problem at a time. Speaking of someone who did not pinpoint one problem at a time, we get Matt Cardona versus John Skyler. John Skyler, of course, comes out with Tasha Steelz and Jason Hodge. I kind of don't know what the point of this match was because Matt Cardona beats John Skyler very handedly. And even before the music, before Matt Cardona's music stopped at the beginning, before Matt Cardona's music stopped at the end, they just jump him and Mustafa Ali comes out and then they jump Matt Cardona. Agent Zero appears and chokeslams Matt Cardona, and that's it. That's followed up with Matt Cardona then approaching later on in the show, Tasha Steelz, saying, I want Ali at Emergence. I want Ali. And she's like, oh, he's busy. And she's like, you know what? By the power vested in me, we're going to get Matt Cardona versus Mustafa Ali tomorrow. What did you think of this match? And what do you think about the match tomorrow between Matt Cardona and Mustafa Ali?
What did I think of this match? It was fine. I thought that commentary tried to do a good job of making this seem like it was something more because when I saw it's Matt Cardona, it was like, yeah, Matt Cardona's going to win. Like, what are we doing here? But they kind of sold it in the fact that when John Skyler made his debut, he defeated Matt Cardona. So I like that commentary kind of reminded me of that because I wouldn't have remembered that, honestly, if they didn't say anything. True. So that added a little bit of, and you could see how far John Skyler has come since that debut and how far Matt Cardona has come. That now he's a babyface in TNA and he gets the win here, like you said, pretty handily. But this was more about the post-match with the Order 4 kind of showing their power without Mustafa Ali getting involved.
What are we doing with Agent Zero here? Where do we go with him? Or is he just the implied muscle? And also, why are we fighting Order 4 with less than 4 people?
I was like, there was kind of a weak reason when they were like, oh, yeah, the system had a match earlier. I was like, so they can't come out now?
Like, I've seen y'all come out like 8 times in one night. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Like, what are you talking about? Oh, they're in the trainer's room? There's no TV in the trainer's room? You can't see the action in the trainer's room?
No action in the impact zone. I don't think.
What is going on here? So, yeah, Matt Cardona got jumped and no one came out to help him. I guess he doesn't have any friends outside of the system, which adds up, but
maybe he's not always ready. Perhaps
he's not complete.
The incomplete Matt Cardona.
I will say, because we talked about the two backstage things after those matches, they showed a backstage clip of JC Jane and Fatal Influence. I have to say, Iceman in NXT, that's where he belongs. He's the best. That's a Paul Heyman waiting to be bloomed. That is a, he's a guy. No, I believe that. I stand.
Wow.
I stand. That's a Don Callis right there. He gonna get you on TV every week, for better or for worse. He gonna get you on TV every week. Like it or don't like it or not, Iceman is a good manager. You know, if Don Callis and Paul Heyman weren't running around,
Prince Nana?
That's true, but that Prince Nana don't count because Prince Nana's on another level. Prince Nana don't even really gotta make no matches. Don Callis and Don Callis and Paul Heyman have to work. Prince Nana just comes out and says, "Buy my coffee." Whose house?
Whose house?
He don't have to do nothing, okay? He's already. I make the joke now that I know who Low-Key is. If I had to wrestle Low-Key, I'm doing nothing to wrestle. I feel like this is what I get for wrestling. I feel like I should have to wrestle nobody else for the rest of my career. Shout out to Low-Key. He's a good wrestler, but holy hell. Holy hell.
I don't want a double stomp. No, thank you.
He's like, a wrestling is real. So, yeah, Iceman on NXT. I can't wait for you to be obnoxious on the main roster. I'm hoping the best for him.
I don't know about all that, the personal concierge. For anyone who doesn't know him as Iceman, yes, the personal concierge. He does fit on NXT. I will give you that, because NXT has that type of kind of like acts that hit or miss sometimes, but also can be entertaining.
You don't think. Not the Miz per se, but a Miz-like character, male or female, and Iceman comes out. Hey, you guys, shut up. That would be over. That would be over.
A lot of people thought, I mean, look at Robert Stone. Robert Stone was able to be kind of a heel authority figure for a couple of months in TNA, but in NXT, he couldn't even be nothing more than a kind of useless manager.
That could be fair. I think of Malcolm Bivens. Does anyone remember that guy? Mr. Stokely Hathaway?
Who's Malcolm? Malcolm
Muscle? You mean Malcolm Muscle? Shout out to Malcolm Muscle.
Shout out to Malcolm.
I don't know. No, you have a good point there. You have a good point there. Because Malcolm Bivens in TNA, I mean, in NXT, who? Stokely Hathaway, AEW?
The star. The star. He don't get no hoes.
No hoes. Speaking of, now Santino gets hoes. He got a whole daughter. Santino moderates the Knockouts Tag Team Summit. My only note is that M by Elegance is literally like almost three wrestlers above the rest of the girls.
Yeah. Ring. They had to have her stand back as far as possible to not make everyone look so small next to her. Just Heather, because she has to stand right next to her.
Even Heather looked like, she make Heather look like this. My friend is going to yell at you. Get him, Heather.
Yeah, she's like... It's like Angelica Pickles with yes. the Cynthia doll. Like, you look at my Cynthia doll. Cynthia's gonna tell you the rules.
The only one that came close to M by Elegance is high. I want to say is like Jesse McKay, but even then, it was like kind of like here's your head, here's her head.
She got a full head size above you.
I don't know, man. There's a brawl at the end of it. Santino says you got 5 seconds, and the crowd counts down, and then he calls security, which I'm like, yo, Santino.
It's like, what type of, like, this is the type of, like, fatherly advice? Like, if you get the Cymbalins are fighting, he's like, all right, just fight. Give 5 seconds. Get it out of your system. And then he's like, oh, mom?
I'm not gonna hold. I grew up in the hood. I've definitely seen that happen. Y'all can't be fighting, but yo, hurry up and get it out your system. I'm caught five before you better get your. All right, they fighting. They fighting. Sometimes I just gotta.
Sometimes it happens like that. I understand that, but damn, come on, Santino, do your job. But I thought the promos were mostly fine. I thought that the Fatal Influence, I like the story of the matchup going into tomorrow, that it's all about kind of Fatal Influence, kind of following the trend and becoming another WWE stars to win TNA gold, which makes them a possibility to win the matchup tomorrow. And then you can also see the Elegance brand losing because of M by Elegance being in there instead of Ash, because she's in the title match, which is not at this show. It's at Heatwave. So I don't know why Ash is not in this matchup, but
shout out to the Freebird rules. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, they just said Freebird rule. They didn't give us a reason why it's M and not Ash.
I mean, in certain, I feel like certain groups, if there's established three members, like not really swapping, or if they have a fourth member, that person's only under emergencies, Myron Reed in this situation. I think Freebird is fine. It's only a problem in, I'm trying to think of what it'd be. A Grande Americano situation where there's 19 Grande Americanos when there's only supposed to be one, and that's not even the real Grande Americano. So with them doing the Freebird rule, if there was another new Elegance, I'm like, all right, this is too much. But there's already been established that there's three Elegances, unless Iceman wants to get in the ring then.
Unless Santino calls them the Elephant brand.
Oh, my goodness. The Elephant brand is insane. Why I thought of Elephant Man?
And then he called the Fatal Influence Fatal Infection.
I think, yeah, and then he said Influence.
When he popped up on the screen, yeah, he was like, Influence.
You know what? Sometimes when I mess up at work, I pretend like I didn't. So I respect it.
I hit that shot. No, I got that. I got it. No. Yeah, I thought, hey, have that. Nah.
Krista, did you just say this was AEW? What? Nah, we're interviewing TNA tonight. Interviewing, reviewing. What are you talking about?
How is it going to feel when you have to review TNA and AEW on the same night?
I don't watch wrestling. What are you talking about?
That's where we're going. That's the future we're going into.
You can't tell me what to do. Guys, moving on from this, we did have a Mance and Steph DeLander video, whatever. They were like, you can't suspend us. We do what we want. We'll see you soon. And he's like, if it's illegal to make love to my wife, I'm going to jail or something. He was a lot more explicit than that. But, you know, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I don't want to be right. Yeah, he came off like a Sandman meets Edge type of character, where he's like the everyday guy who's drinking the beer, who wants to fight, but he's also sex crazed like Edge with Lita at the same time, which I like the balance there. I think that's a different type of character than we got the color change and everything.
I'm pressing stuff. My apologies. Costume change.
Don't give Krista power. She just switched it up. She's like, this looks better to me right now.
I'm trying to do get rid of the banner. I don't know how to get rid of the bottom part. So I'm just like, maybe if I clicked it, I thought it was a part of the thing. But
you go to banner and then you click on it. Whatever.
I don't even see that. Just keep talking. Yeah. I'll figure it out. Just keep talking.
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
We were talking about Steph DeLander and I almost said Steph the Mancer, which really should be their
Mancewater, name. Mancewater Steph Mancer, and Steph DeLander. Okay. Yeah, so they're suspended, and Steph kind of said that the suspension is just words, that they'll show up to work when they want to, so they're coming back to work earlier than, I guess, their suspension is supposed to be going for.
You can't hurt me with that sign, because I can't read. That's what that gave. I can't read. All right. Speaking of people who can't read because they're dead, Eric Young had a match versus Mike Santana. If for those of you who don't know, in the storyline, Eric Young was stabbed to death by Cody Deaner.
You're just never going to move on from that?
How? I witnessed the murder. How can I move on from this?
He wasn't beheaded. He wasn't beheaded. He was in witness protection. Sometimes they fake deaths for witness protection.
Child, so anyway, because Cody Dina was still working there, the specter of Eric Young wrestled Mike Santana. All right?
Like you telling me like nobody called the police on him when he was wrestling one of these weeks? It's because he didn't murder anybody. Witness protection.
I've seen a lot of crazy things happen in TNA. At a wedding, I saw a man get shot.
That has happened. That has happened at a TNA
wedding. I've seen someone go into a closet door and never come out. And now they're in AEW. So, like, people go missing in TNA all the time. So, would it be far-fetched that Eric Young is a specter and he's been wrestling this? Would that be far-fetched in TNA? Would it be?
He's just a hologram this whole time.
Mickey got hit by a train.
This is also true. And she came back, too.
PCO had battery acid poured in his mouth and showed up to the pay-per-view the next day. Anything's possible here. So
I mean, the last time I was here, you had a guy get roofied the day before pay-per-view. So.
That's true. Steve Maclin did get roofied by the same ghost. So I ask you again, is it far-fetched that Eric Young passed away?
It's not far-fetched.
This is the specter of Eric Young.
You can literally, like, when he's done with his career, like, go through everything in the last couple of years and explain it as, nah, this was actually the ghost of Eric Young.
The Phantom of the Opera, the specter of TNA.
Long-term storytelling. It's going to be like when Bully Ray explained how he joined Aces and Eights, where none of it really made sense, but they tried to make it make sense with the whole vignettes and him going back and be like, yeah, I was in control of that. I did this because I wanted to get this. Yeah, they're going to do it like that.
Honestly, control your narrative. You tried it. This is the real narrative that's being controlled right now, okay? Get into it.
What's going to compete with any company out there, Krista.
Honestly, if I were you, AEW, I'd be shaking, shook, panicking. Cuda rattling bones. Pack it up, EAW. It's over for you. Everyone pack it up. Go home. TNA's in town, okay? Go home, everybody. It's over. WrestleMania, who?
We're getting AJ Styles back. We're getting everybody back.
We're so back. When that Samoa Joe music hit, y'all gonna be like, wow, wow.
Joe left AEW to come back to TNA. He has unfinished business. Christian leaves. Now? He brings Cope over too.
Oh man. You get Booker T to come back and commentate his own matches.
Then they're going to do the TLC matchup that they always wanted to do. They wanted to do Edge and Christian versus the Hardys versus the Dudleys. They're going to do that at Bound for Glory 2026.
In a six-sided ring. An Ultimate X match. Anyway, so this match, there's a discus lariat on Mike Santana before the bell. Northern Armory interferes, and if you turn this way, you turn that way, there was a spin the block, and Eric Young got rolled up.
Good match. I think that Santana, he can't have a bad match. Like, he's just on fire right now. He just always has good matches, whether it's on TV, whether it's the pay-per-views. Eric Young, he knows what he's doing. He's got one of the prettiest flying elbow drops in the world today. So that was a nice highlight of the matchup, getting a near fall. But in the end, yeah, I wasn't surprised Santana got the win. And tomorrow he faces Sami Callihan in a battle of baby faces and potentially Sami Callihan's final matchup. Do you think that this is going to be his final match? The way they're talking about it, it does not sound like it's his final match.
Let me tell you something about final matches in TNA. You ever heard of Hometown Man?
Y'all just did this.
Like, TNA has been reheating its nachos from the past 2 years. First, you run in the Joe Hendry, you not going to get it line on Mike Santana. Now we're doing a hometown man on Sami Callihan. Say that five times fast. So we're going to have the hometown men tag team.
Hometown cousin.
You've already done that, Cody Dina, with Cousin Jake. We've already done this, okay?
He's a hometown cousin.
This is why Joel didn't show up to work today, because he knew what this was going to be about. He's like, I don't have time for this. Hometown men coming to a tag team division near you. Hometown man is over for some of us. Joel Pearl can't stand it. Like, if you're retired, be retired. Don't come up here and say, I'm retired. And then next week, you're like, that was my cousin. I'm not Sami Callihan. I'm Billy Balaban. I'm like, don't do that. I'm personally very easily sports entertained. So I think hometown men would be hilarious. It's DNA. Why not? And that's not a very corporate answer, but that's going to be my answer. Why not?
It's TNA. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the direction all of this is going. I think that Mike Santana is probably going to win. I think he is going to win that matchup. And I think maybe I was expecting it to happen on this show, but maybe at Emergence, maybe we get a Sami Callihan heel turn. He turns on Mike Santana after the loss.
Sami Callihan's a good guy.
Yeah. Kinda. He's kinda a good guy. like a good guy.
Like Charlotte Flair?
Yeah, like if you squint, you'd be like, yeah, they're a good guy. Yeah.
Oh, he's a good guy. Like, the system is a good guy. Like, there's people worse than you, so you're good right now. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I mean, if he turned on him, I mean, it's not really turning if you're the same guy. I hate the term turnover new leaf. It's the same leaf.
Still the same leaf.
It's the same leaf. He's about to be the same leaf. And we get our first super chat of the night. Thank you so much. Patrick Moore said, it's raining. Home round man. It's a home round man. I can't talk. I was having a stroke trying to say it earlier. It's totally fine. Thank you so much, Patrick Moore. We appreciate you. Shout out to the hometown men. Your new TNA tag team champion. They're going to pin the Hardys in a fit of rage. TNA is going to explode.
No, they'll put it back on the Nemesis to lose it to the hometown men.
It's Nick Nemesis, brother. The end. Joe Henry, you're the worst.
He's got a match with hometown men, and he's got home field advantage. That's what they said on today's show.
We have a King speech next. He introduces Jake something. I'm sorry, Frankie Kazarian, who's the speaker of the King's Speech, introduces Jake something, introduces Steve Macklin, but he says, I want to introduce Jake something. All right. And there's a whole big thing.
He said Jake something.
That's true. Sorry, pardon me. He introduces Steve Macklin, gives Steve Macklin this whole grandiose thing, but neither one of them say anything when he's like, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? They both agree that Kazarian talks too much, rip on him, beat him up. That's followed by Frankie Kazarian getting choke slammed by Jake something. And then he gives, I don't know what they're calling it now, black hole slam onto Steve Macklin.
Well, something calls it into the void.
Into the void, okay. So Jake something gives Steve Macklin into the void. And, you know, Jake something stands tall. That leads me to believe tomorrow Macklin is winning, so
yeah, that's kind of what Wrestling 101 teaches you, that if whoever's standing on top at the final final show before the pay-per-view, they're probably going to lose at the pay-per-view. So yeah, I'll go with Steve Macklin as well. I want Jake something to win something. Yeah. So I hope that he gets that in the future. I just don't see it happening tomorrow.
Unfortunately, remember about the digital media championship. People crapped on it, but like it was something to do.
Well, the international championship feels more than the digital media championship. I don't know about you, but digital media championship always felt very, very lower card, where this feels like a title that could stand on the same level as like the Exhibition championship.
True. But if you ain't got something for someone to do and you can make it mean, I mean, Joe Hendry held, I think it was him and then Swing Daddy were the last people to hold the digital media championships.
Was it Swing Daddy?
I think that's when he discovered what the internet was.
So it was PCO and Jay Francis. NJ Francis had it before that.
Oh yeah, and he had the that other title too, the French one.
Yeah, the Canadian heavyweight championship or something like that.
It was like the Canadian French International Championship or something like that. Guys, yeah. We don't watch wrestling. Please drop it in the chat. We're just two jabronis that were hired here. I don't even know what we're doing here. Thank you guys so much for being here. We do appreciate you over here at Fightful letting us yap your ear off about wrestling, something we definitely do not watch. Speaking of wrestling we do not watch, we are here at the main event. We do have a six-man tag team match consisting of the Rascals, Zachary Wentz and Myron Reed with Cedric Alexander versus the Hardys, Matt and Jeff Hardy and their adoptive son, Leon Slater. This match was all the Hardys' greatest hits. We had Twist of Fate. We had Swanton Bombs. We had the three unison. That is a twisted. No, it's the neck breaker that Matt Hardy does. That all three of them did in a row.
Well, we had the Twist of Slate. That's what Leon Slater.
That's what
does.
It is.
Yeah, and then I forget what Jeff Hardy calls his. I think he calls himself something different over the last couple of months. But yeah, they all three basically hit. One after the other, their version of the Twist of Fate before Matt hit the big one at the end. There was a lot of nice like double teams and everybody being in there and a lot of action, especially down the stretch of this matchup. But I like that they left it off to the two guys in the X Division Championship matchup. And I was surprised that they had Cedric Alexander get the win here, because it kind of gives it away that Leon Slater is probably going to win at the pay-per-view, which I'm fine with. I think that Leon should hold the title for a while, but it was a really good matchup. Probably the best matchup on this show for sure.
No, absolutely. I will say the biggest news is the lumbar check, on Leon Slater, which I was surprised about. However, I don't think it's bad for Leon Slater to lose here to Cedric Alexander. Of all the people to lose to, Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, Mike Santana, my apologies. These are people where it's not like, damn, I lost to this person. It's like, damn, I got to wrestle that person. And like you said, I think tomorrow it will signify that Leon Slater is retaining the title. If Cedric Alexander wins, I'll be sports surprised. But I don't think we should after we just did that whole big rigmarole for Leon Slater. And plus, he's an unofficial Hardy boy. Let him have his moment.
Yeah, he needs to hold the title for a little while longer for sure, because they gave him the big kind of stamp of approval with Moose putting him over after he beat him, then the AJ Styles endorsement to then turn around to kind of have him lose the championship at his first hurdle. That's not the best look. They need to kind of have a longer reign with Leon to kind of establish him as the new face of the X Division. If they want to hold their identity, have an identity, Leon Slater is one of the guys you should put to the forefront to kind of be that for this new era of TNA.
Agreed. And even if Leon Slater were to lose to Cedric Alexander, my biggest gripe with that is that at least then build up Cedric Alexander. He just lost to Ali. And I don't think, again, there's nothing wrong with him, because I think Alexander and Leon Slater are on the same level in ring ability-wise. They're both incredibly talented men. It's just storyline-wise, one person has been built up, endorsed, given pretty. The only way he could get better is if Amazing Red himself came and gave that man the stamp of approval. You know what I mean? Everything is perfect for him. To lose to Cedric Alexander, no shade. Prime Alexander. My apologies. Yes. Give him some storyline. Have him beat Mustafa. Have him take over at Order 4. You know what I mean? Make it worthwhile. Do something.
Yeah, this is one of the...
I'm sorry.
This is one of the cases where I wish that like TNA did like time limits, because that would probably be the best finish for this matchup tomorrow at Emerges, that they should probably go to like a time limit draw to build a bigger matchup, either at the Victory Road or eventually at Bound for Glory, because this could be a longer feud that really puts over Leon Slater a lot bigger than just him beating him tomorrow.
Agreed. And I will also say that it could span where you could get the most out of Prime Alexander.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. And that was TNA tonight. But don't turn away. We are going to be doing some predictions for TNA Emergence tomorrow. So just a quick little programming note. I won't be covering, nor Joel Pearl will be covering Emergence tomorrow. Wah, wah. But if you need that sweet Crest of Star fix, that looked very disturbing now that I thought about that. I will be live here tomorrow with Kate going over all things SmackDown. So don't worry, there'll be wrestling tomorrow, just no TNA Emergence. So we are going to do our predictions, and I want you guys to drop your predictions in the chat as well. Again, don't forget to in your super chats, your humper chats. We're heading down the main stretch, the home stretch rather. Let's start off with what's going to be on the pre-show, the countdown. We have Ryan Nemeth versus the Hometown Man. Who do you got going into this SP3?
When it's a match of two titans of this caliber, you know, Ryan Nemeth, who's done so many things in his career, like be Nick Nemeth's brother and, you know, be Nick Nemeth's brother long enough to become tag team champions. And you have someone like Hometown Man who is undefeated in his hometown. And seeing as, you know, wherever they are tomorrow, I don't know. That is his hometown. So I'm going to go with the Hometown Man.
Dang. That's crazy, because I, too, am going with the Hometown Man. Sorry, Ryan Nemeth. The only way Ryan Nemeth wins is if Nick Nemeth comes and cheats. But why would you cheat against the Hometown? I mean, it is the Hometown Man. It is the Hometown Man. I would cheat, too.
You should cheat. Yeah.
You should cheat. You're right. That's that Max Caster logic. He's cheating.
Everywhere is his hometown. He's cheating.
True. True. Now, I don't know if these are in the order that they're going to appear in. So I know that the first one was on the pre-show. The rest of this, King's Gambit. We got Mike Santana versus Sami Callihan. If Callihan loses, he'll retire. I'm going with Mike Santana. And I'm going to copycat SP3 from what he said earlier. And I think Sami Callihan turns on Santana afterwards to give him something to do to keep him away from his path of purpose for a little bit longer.
And to avoid him being Hometown Man. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Mike Santana for the win. And, yeah, Sami Callihan turns heel afterwards. Give him one more matchup at Victory Road. And I don't know what you do with Sami Callihan at Bound for Glory. It depends on if this is all a work or not. I never know what's a work or not anymore. But, yeah, if Sami Callihan wants to call it a career, do it kind of culminated at Bound for Glory or something like that. But Mike Santana's got bigger fish to fry when it comes to there.
Damn, nobody wants to be a Hometown Man. We have TNA Knockouts World Tag Team Championship in a four-way match. We have the champions, the Elegance brand. It says it's Ash by Elegance, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be M by Elegance and Heather by Elegance versus the Inspiration, Cassie Lee, Jesse McKay, versus the Fatal Influence, Fallon Henley with Jasmine Nix. JC Jane will probably be out there with them. Maybe, maybe not. Versus Laying Lee and Zaya Brookside. Who do you got, SP3?
I am going to go with the WWE wrestlers to win the TNA titles, because that seems like the safest bet. I'm going with Fatal Influence, because like a thief in the night, I won't let you in. That theme song, a banger. When you get over all the other stuff that the singer said. But yeah, banger theme song. Def Rebel, finally with a hit.
Honestly, I don't want to agree with you, but the way that TNA is giving it up, dude, why? Why would you stop hoeing now if you've been hoeing the whole time?
You know, especially because, you know, Ash ain't here. We ain't even getting the real tag team champions. This is an easy out where the Elegance brand could be like, we need our rematch.
I want to say that, I mean, no matter what, I was going to say the Elegance brand, they're going to win through some shady, because there's three of them. Somebody's going to do the old Freaky Friday. It's me. We're the same person, something like that. But I, yikes. I mean, I just keep hearing Dolce. I stood in the corner and shook my shit. So like, yikes. I'm going to agree with you. I think it is going to be Fatal Influence, because why would, if you have been shown, yeah, I think it's Fatal Influence.
You're trying to tell this story. You need more titles on WWE, people. This should all culminate, if this is a regular thinking company, if I just ignore the fact that TNA has a history of doing stuff booking-wise, this should all culminate at Bound for Glory, where TNA wins all their titles back. But
yeah,
I also know this is TNA, so there's no bets. Bets are all off. But
we're the same company, our titles.
I'm hoping that that's where they're going with this.
My faith, low. We have the TNA International Championship, no disqualification or Dairy Queen match. Steve Maclin versus Jake something. Who do you have, SP3, and why is it Steve Maclin?
It is Steve Maclin because he's the inaugural champion. He needs to continue his reign and kind of keep establishing the international championship. And I think he fits that role very well because he's a former TNA world champion. So he's given it credibility in that state, and he could put on good matches with just about anybody. And I think this is going to be one of the better matches on this show. But yeah, in the end, Steve Maclin gets to win.
I'm going to agree with Steve Maclin here, because also if we're talking about Bound for Glory winning back all your big titles, if someone is going, the way that they're framing it, Steve Maclin is going to be the guy who's like, I'm leading the charge. I'm going to pick up where Moose, who keeps saying he's going to be in the front lines, who keeps getting knocked down by AJ Francis. I'm going to be that soldier. I'm going to be the Marine. I think it also fits in his ethos of who Steve Maclin is in TNA. Yeah. So I think he retains this, and I think that him and Jake something form some sort of bond, because I do agree that at some point, if we're going to keep giving all the TNA titles to WWE, there has to be a big blow off. And not to say there has to be a stadium stampede match, but there will be a multi-man match where Steve Maclin's on the front line. And I think in order for him to do that, he's going to have to beat the respect into some people, Jake something being one of them.
Yeah, that's a good thought. And yeah, you need one of the champions to kind of hold steady, and then you can do like Steve Maclin versus one of the NXT guys, NXT stars at Bound for Glory to kind of be like, hey, we're trying to get these titles back, but we might lose another one.
Yeah, and if I want to be honest with you too, going into the next match is Leon Slater versus Cedric Alexander. I think Leon Slater will win, but if you really want to make it feel bad right before TNA wins, you have Leon Slater lose the X Division title. Because that, he's the darling right now. He's the baby. I don't know who's a jerk in NXT right now. But you have your most jackassiest of jackass beat Leon Slater. And that's when Macklin's like, all right, I've got my swords. I've got my homies. We've had enough. Because not the X Division champion. And now you want my championship? The child that was just born? Oh, nah. Oh, nah. But I could see that. You could do it at Bound for Glory. Someone's got to really beat up Leon Slater. Let Leon Slater get his lick back. But it'd be one of those things. It's like, yo, that's a kid. Chill out, bro. Like, yo.
Why are you riling on this child? This is just a child. He didn't mean
anything.
Look what
they've done to my boy. So who do you have winning against Leon Slater and Cedric Alexander?
Yeah, this is the match that I think is my pick to be like the show stealer, the best match on the show, because these two guys are two great in-ring workers. I think they're going to work very well with each other. I think that Cedric is going to go out there and really try to put over Leon Slater and continue this endorsement of Leon Slater being not only the future of the X Division, but the future of TNA wrestling. So I think this is going to be a strong win for him. Another great matchup for Cedric after his great matchup with Mustafa Ali at Slam Slammiversary, and I like the fact that they took probably two of the people that were in two of the better matches at Slammiversary and just paired them up here to probably steal the show on this one.
I just don't want Cedric Alexander. Who's that?
I just kind of don't want him to fall into this coming to the stage, drop it to the stars, such a guy, Prime Alexander. And I low-key feel like, okay, Ali, I could take. I didn't like that. The way you built it up, someone needed to humble him. Maybe y'all could have traded back and forth. At least I can get one. All right, Leon, okay. I could take that. Leon just won, and I think this would be great for the both of you. But who's next? Don't piss me off.
Well, this is the whole thing. I think, like Joel said it multiple times, we don't know how long Cedric is going to be here, because there wasn't any announcements about him signing like a long-term deal with TNA. So this might be like a per-appearance deal where they don't know how long they're going to have him for. They're paying him for these different appearances. So you got to make the most of it. You put over and kind of reestablish Mustafa Ali with the loss at Slammiversary. Now you're going to put over your new future of the company in Leon Slater. These are quality losses for Cedric Alexander, where they're making some use for him. He has some usefulness as a like a utility player, unless he kind of like signs an actual contract with them, and then I can see them kind of like pushing him and allowing him to have big wins.
For my sports entertainment, I would like to see Cedric Alexander do a lumbar check on AJ Francis because he's mad tall. Just that to see all fun. His limbies in the air. Or JDC. Because AJ Francis is going to sell it like he got his balls exploded. JDC is going to look like Wacky Flammable and Flailing Man. And both I will be sports entertained.
Well, AJ already has experience about looking like he had his balls busted at the last pay-per-view.
To quote Sean Ross Sapp, to quote AJ Styles, big dick equals cushion. Those are not my words. I did not say that. I'm not making that up.
That is what AJ apparently responded with.
Okay, and before y'all get nasty, I don't know. God bless and Godspeed. Next, we have TNA World Tag Team Championship. We have the Hardys consisting of Matt and Jeff Hardy versus the Rascals, which online it says Trey Miguel, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Myron Reed and Zachary Wentz. Who do you have going into this?
This would be the kind of the fun one to kind of do like a title change, because I felt like the Rascals for the longest time needed another run as tag team champions, especially as baby faces, because I think their first run last year or 2023 was them as the heels. So I wanted to see them now as baby faces win the tag team titles, especially Myron Reed, who is someone who has kind of made the most of his minutes being in TNA and kind of replacing Trey Miguel. I thought this would kind of be a stamp of approval for him, but we know what's happening at Bound for Glory. So this makes all these title defenses for the Hardys until then kind of not have any feeling of, oh, they might do a title change. We don't know who's going to win. We know who's going to win. It's the Hardys, because they have to face the Dudleys for the tag team titles in the year of our Lord, 2025, because we can't escape all these unks. The unk line has to continue. Unk TLC has to continue, because you got it in this company. You got it in AEW, where it's a rush reunion. Because they wasn't going to let last week.
Okay, but they weren't going to let all six uncles all play together. So the two ostracized uncles got to make the best of what they got, okay? If you was really about it, you would have had Uncle Group 1, who really shouldn't be wrestling, Uncle Group 2, who really shouldn't be wrestling, but Uncle Group 3, who's like, I guess y'all still wrestling, but like, you're not having the unks wrestle. So that's why it was a table ladders and chairs match, crucially made iconic by three teams, but we only have two of them here.
So we're going to do one last time, the greatest tag team match of all time from these four men. One of these men recently had a stroke.
Me, every time I do the show, recently having a stroke.
This is ridiculous.
Honestly, yeah, I feel bad for the Rascals. And I just say to anyone who gets to wrestle with the Hardys, at this point, this is dream match territory. I'm happy I get to wrestle with the Hardys. At my big age, I was happy I got to see the Hardys live. So of all the tag teams from that era, I'm happy the Hardys are still here. So I'm going to take it where I can. So I know it's the Hardys. I know it's the I've seen some of their matches. Team Extreme for real, bro. So
they still give it up. They still give it up. They put their bodies on the line still at their even at their extended age. And they could have a good matchup, especially with a team like the Rascals. And like I said, Myron Reed's been working like he has a chip on his shoulder. And Zachary Wentz has always been great. So I expect this to be a good matchup.
I want Myron to stay around a lot longer. Every time I see him, I'm very sports impressed. I'm like, this is a littlest rascal, but ain't you the bad child? Like, Trey and Zach, like, tee-hee, maybe I'm a little baddie, tee-hee. But you're like, yeah, let's cut him. Like, yo, yo, Myron, chill out. Chill out. Go back to the treehouse.
He's a kid who be playing with knives in the corner of the treehouse.
He was hanging out with Killer Kelly too long. Yeah, let's kill him. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We just want to wrestle him, Myron. Relax. You sure we can cut his feet off and take his shoes? We just want to take his shoes.
he's like the bad. He's like the devil in Guilty Conscience.
Or the mean witch from that. What was that movie? The one back in the day where the girl is in the window. It's like, you want me to kill him? not the Reckoning. Oh, my God. It's the 1990s movie. Oh, my God. It'll come to me. So, finally, rounding out emergence. We have the TNA World Championship with Trick Williams versus Moose. The picture that I'm looking at where they have Moose just scowling, I'm like, I'm not intimidated. I'm sorry, Moose.
You got to do a lot more than that, Moose.
It just looked like you got poop, Moose. Anyway, Trick Williams is cheating.
Yeah, Moose should give Trick a good matchup. Moose pretty much has been another one that's been like having a good streak of really good matches when he was X Division champion. And I think he can kind of work really well with Trick Williams in a similar vein to what he did with Obafemi, but not on that level because Obafemi is just something completely different. But they can have a big man heavyweight matchup between these two guys. But yeah, in the end, I think AJ Francis, First Class, somebody's going to come out and help Trick get the win to retain because he's got to hold the titles to lose to Santana 3 months later than most of us wanted.
Not you saying he has to hold the thing for like 3 months later so he can be this person. Nah, man. I'm trying to find something really positive and inspiring to say, but I can't because I know Trick Williams is about to cheat Moose out his boots. No matter how many system guys, and this will be the night that the system doesn't interfere as many times as you guys interfered before. Y'all could really get it up off. There's enough people in the system that y'all could get it up off of Moose. I mean, get it off of Trick.
Yeah.
But now since you guys want to be good guys, you guys aren't going to jump him, and I feel like I'm becoming Jeff Jarrett. Don't piss me off. What are we doing? You literally jumped Joe Hendry.
And now Moose is coming in with an injury after getting jumped in the back on this episode. So, yeah, I think that might be the tease of who's going to come out. Like it wasn't First Class who jumped Moose. It was whoever's going to help him win the title at Emergence. Maybe like Order 4.
I don't like that Trick Williams is tricking on us. It is really tricking A. He's tricking on us.
He's just having fun. He's able to show he's a top star here. He's able to show he's a top star in WWE NXT. We're just waiting on him to get to the main roster. Please and thank you.
I don't think he's a top star here in TNA. I don't like this guy. I ethically hate him. Let me be real here. I ethically hate Trick Williams, okay? TNA, kayfabe, I ethically hate Trick Williams. Like, I'm on the side of Tom Hannafin. This guy's got our title. He's got to get out of here. Is anyone going to stop him? I'm on Tom Hannafin's side, okay?
And no, we need the Tom Hannafin Cresta commentary team.
Honestly, I'm over it. I'm over it. Move over, Matthew Raywald. Step aside, okay? I've had these guys. This is an affront
And what does Nigel say? A miscarriage of justice is an affront to my sensibilities. TNA doesn't deserve this. All TNA said was, I want mommy uppies. And WWE said, I'm going to give you mommy uppies. But they threw us into the fire. They're taking all of our Pampers. They're taking all of our Gucci belts that we got from the baby shower. I'm tired of this, okay? I'm tired of this Trick Williams fellow, okay? I'm sick of him.
Trickin' A. Trickin' A.
He's really tricking RA right now. He's really tricking us.
And you got your president raising his hand, dancing all in the videos with him.
Got freaking AJ Francis over here turning coat on his own team. You brought in Casey to replace Swan, and then you brought Swan back to replace Casey. These hoes ain't loyal. None of them.
Nope.
None of them. Not a damn one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it before I get fired. To those who are trying to guess the witch movie, it's not Hocus Pocus. I can't think of the name. It's not The Culling. It's something with the three girls, and there's a fourth girl, and they're trying to make the fourth girl mean, and she doesn't want to do it. And there's the really, really pale witch
who comes. Jawbreaker?
Not Jawbreaker. It's just like, you want me to kill him? It's you'll know the movie when you see the gift, but I cannot think of The Craft. Thank you. Thank
there
you.
We go.
Thank you. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about everything but TNA, I feel. Thank you guys so much for being here. If you guys need more of SP3, SP3 is going to tell you how to locate him on the internet. Don't be weird. Don't stalk him. He bites. SP3, where can the people find you?
You can follow me on the Twitter machine at True Hill SP3. You can see most of my content over at the True Hill Heat Wrestling YouTube channel. I'll be there tomorrow around 2:05 p.m. Eastern time with a G1 Climax 35 kind of preview ahead of the semifinals and the finals this weekend. We also got the flagship podcast on Saturday at 11:05 a.m. Eastern time, talking about everything in pro wrestling, WWE, AEW, TNA, and we'll definitely be talking about WWE using TNA as the proxy in their war against AEW on this week's show. So join us for that. You can see my written work at SI.com. I'm also on the secondary channel, Fightful Overbooked, every Tuesday and Thursday on In the Weeds with Jeremy Lambert, where we talk about wrestling sometimes, but mostly talk about basketball and everything else most of the time. So check that out over there, In the Weeds, every Tuesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern time. And thank you, Cresta, for having me. I'm always here whenever you need me, because Cresta always makes me laugh about not taking wrestling too seriously.
Honestly, SP3, you do make me laugh too. And that's what I do enjoy about SP3 and all of you guys. Wrestling is serious, but it's never that serious. And when it is that serious, turn your brain off and choose to be sports entertained. That's what I do. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cresta Starr. You can find me here every Thursday and every Saturday going over all things TNA, AEW Collision, and hopefully soon you'll see me every Friday with Kate. But that being said, too, really quickly, real sports special announcement. Your girl Cresta Starr is going on a mental health break because I think that's important. I'll be gone from the 9th of September through October 26th. I know that's a long time. But if I don't, Cresta Starr is gonna morph into Lactor Rus, and I'm just gonna start goring people. So I have to go away. I have to go find my smile, actually. So if you would like to find what I'm doing while I'm looking for my smile, please follow me on social media. Anywhere you can type Cresta Starr, CrestaStarr, except for over on Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star. Also, go ahead and follow Fightful. Again, we've got so many subscribers over here on YouTube. It's 205,000. We want to get to 210, and we need you guys to go ahead and hit us with the follow button. Leave us a thumbs up on this video if you're watching in the future, or if you're watching now, if you had a good time. If you leave us a thumbs down, it makes the algorithm notice us, and we want you to notice us too. For myself, SP3, have a good night, everyone. Take care of yourself and each other, and don't steal, because stealing will get you sent to jail.
She's right.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.